Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. This is Bonnie Kay, and welcome to the Straight Wives Talk Show. This is a hard-hitting show that discusses the complexity of marriages between straight women and gay men, and also bisexual men who identify themselves as bisexual. Each week, my guest and I discuss issues that affect over 4 million women in this country and millions more around the world who find themselves unknowingly married to a gay or bisexual man. If you do have any comments you'd like to make during the broadcast, you can either call them in at area code 646-716-4893, or you can email them to me at bonkay@aol.com. That's B-O-N-K-A-Y-E @aol.com. Before I announce my special co-host for tonight, I just want to make a couple of announcements. The first one is that our Healing Weekend is going to be in April of this year, April 23rd and 24th, and it's going to be right outside Washington, D.C., in Dulles, Virginia, and I'm really looking forward to meeting some of our old, you know, women and some new women coming to the conference. It's always such a wonderful healing experience to meet other women who can validate your feelings immediately, and women who understand exactly how you're feeling without ever saying a word. And I know that all the women who have come to these healing weekends have told me that this has been a changing point for them as far as getting support, making lifetime friends, having people there who understand them, and beginning the healing process, or whatever process you're in the middle of healing, getting to an end, having closure. We have some wonderful guest speakers who will be at our workshop, and it'll be a wonderful day. We have a group rate for the hotel. It's a beautiful hotel, and it will be a wonderful weekend right in the beginning of spring, well, a little past the beginning. So if you would like to join me and some of the most dynamic women you could ever imagine meeting, please let me know by emailing me at bonkay@aol.com. That's B-O-N-K-A-Y-E @aol.com. And in the subject bar, please put in Healing Weekend so I'll know to answer you with the right email. And I'll be looking forward to giving you more information and hopefully seeing you in April. So without further ado, I'm going to introduce my co-host for tonight, Dr. Brian Hooper. Hi, Brian.
Hey, Bonnie. It's good to be with you again.
Same here, Brian. Happy holidays to you.
Thank you.
How was your holiday season?
It was really wonderful. It's been good so far, and I'm looking forward to a brilliant new year. How about you?
Mine was peaceful and quiet, just the way I like it. And
great.
I always tell women they don't have to feel badly. You know, it's a tough time of year for so many of us. You know, holidays are a constant reminder for people going through pain of how things used to be or how we thought they were or how we wanted them to be. And that if you do want to spend the holiday alone, that's perfectly fine. You don't have to feel indebted to anybody to be good company when you don't feel like being good company.
That's right.
I think.
Exactly.
I mean, I'm not sure if that's because I'm older now.
I think that's great advice. Well, I think it's great advice. And if you are going to be alone on a holiday, then plan to do something nice for yourself. So to those ladies who might be staying in on New Year's Eve, you know what? Get a nice bottle of wine if you have wine. Fix yourself a nice little meal. You know, take a bubble bath. Do something nice for you. Get your favorite movie, rent a new movie, whatever. Make a night of it to pamper yourself. Be good to yourself.
And I think that New Year's Eve is very tough because people, even who haven't gone through the process that we've gone through, people who are alone or single,
it's
hard. It's a time where they see, people are couples.
Right. Tell me about it.
Big couple night.
it's a big couple night.
You know, the season in general is very painful. And I'd like to say that this is the end of it, but it's really not. For us, it really ends after Valentine's Day.
Exactly. Exactly.
Just when you think you're home free with New Year's.
February 14th. Right. I know.
Exactly. So by February 15th,
February
14th. Exactly. Then you're over that big from Thanksgiving to Valentine's Day. You know, I don't know what you would call it, but
friend of mine calls Valentine's Day Singleness Awareness Day.
That's really cute. I like that.
It's a fun, kind of a fun take on it, but it is also the truth. And what we have to be careful of, I think, and this is what's helped me, is to remind me that I'm okay. Just as I am, with somebody or without somebody, I'm okay. I know what I would prefer, but you know what? I'm okay, and I would rather be alone with myself than miserable with the wrong person.
Mm-hmm.
At least, you know, I know I'm getting honesty if it's just me and my dog. If I'm with somebody that I've become a stranger to, I can't trust. I don't know what they're doing on the computer because they won't give me their password, right? I have a client right now who her husband, she can't get on her husband's computer because he has a password protected and is very secretive about it. And she
That's
keeps,
one of my
you know,
main
telling,
tips there.
Yep, absolutely. There's something's going on, whether he be a cheating straight man or... You know, a cheating husband that's a gay man. All I know is that it's better to be alone with yourself than to be with somebody you shouldn't be with or you can't trust.
I think that's true, but I would like to also talk a little bit, if you don't mind, Brian, about going back to the concept of being single. Because I feel that a lot of times people are really pressured by society that you have to hook up with somebody. And I always tell women to learn to love yourself and enjoy your own company.
Yep.
And I do have women who just don't feel like meeting someone, and that's okay. You don't have to feel complete just because
that's
another person's there to complete you. Is that right, would you say?
That's absolutely right. And in fact, with a lot of my gay clients who haven't, I mean, they've not been married, they're not, you know, trying to fake it, but they're just out in the dating pool, you know, and they're feeling desperate. I say, slow down, guys. I'd say the same thing with anyone who's dating and feels desperate. Slow down. The most important love affair you will ever have is with yourself, okay? And learn to do things to take care of yourself. And learn to enjoy being with yourself, even if you're not with, you know, somebody else. And that takes practice.
It does, but I know that for many years that I was very happy and I was raising my children. I never felt like being in a relationship. Mm-hmm. I knew I wasn't really strong enough to be in a relationship because I was too beaten down to start with. And I knew I was too vulnerable to find somebody who could hurt me any more than I was already hurting. And guess what? I learned to really just love my own company. You know, it wasn't until 11 years after that that my heart opened up to meet someone. And next week I'll be celebrating anniversary number 22 years with my soulmate.
Yay. That's good.
I'm really excited about that. And we're old now, but we're still in love and we're still engaged and, you know, in all kinds of activities, including intimate ones. And I'm not bragging about it, but I'm just saying that when you find someone who you love,
right,
it's worth waiting. So, you know, sometimes just wait it out. And, you know, you can go out there and explore, but, you know, don't settle for anybody who's not the right person for you. I guess that's the main message, that you can be very happy by yourself and you don't have to care what society thinks. You have to feel happy about you. Right?
Right. Absolutely.
So there are a few situations I wanted to talk to you about tonight and get your professional opinion that some of the problems that a couple of women asked me to bring up to you in our conversations in the last few weeks. And here's
I think we can handle it.
Well, I would like your advice.
Okay.
I think you have a better maybe perspective than me. But when women go through a very painful divorce, because some women really truly love their husbands, and gay was not part of the understanding, and they just can't put a grasp on the whole situation. So here's like one of the classic things that happens. You know, men go out, and now they've meet a mate, or they've usually met one by the time they're leaving their wives. That's when they first, you know, come to me for advice. They've met somebody else. And they're really, you know, so happy, and now they have, you know, their own life to themselves, and they have a boyfriend. And they want the wife to be integrated into that relationship. And some of them feel like they're being, you know, ridiculous not to be, but they don't want to be. But they feel pressured, like, why can't you accept this? You know, it's a different world today. And they're just very uncomfortable. Is that a reaction that you would be expecting? That they don't want to be integrated into a big whole family right away?
I would expect that, yes. I would expect that that would be a very difficult thing for the wife to come to grips with. It's just, I, you know, it's like when a man has cheated on his wife and he's straight, he's got the new woman, she's not, you know, the wife is not, you know, usually really anxious to spend a whole lot of time with the two of them. After all, you know, this is a reminder that her past relationship has been broken. I think it's important to have very clear boundaries and say, you know, best wishes to the both of you. I really don't want to be with you.
And I think that's perfectly fine to say that, right?
Absolutely. Yes, absolutely. He's the one that chose to change the terms of agreement about the relationship, not the wife, okay? So she's not obligated to go along with him and the new terms that he wants to have it under. Absolutely not.
I think that, in addition, I'm not going to mislead you, Brian. I mean, it's very painful, like you said, when you have a man who finds another woman. But I think it's painful a lot of times for women to have to adapt to a lifestyle that's not that comfortable for them. And it has nothing to do with the fact that they were anti-gay. I mean, most of our women were very pro-gay, or are very pro-gay. They just can't conceptualize their husband with another man. And it's a very
uncomfortable feeling.
I mean, it's a very uncomfortable feeling. And especially for some of my women who are wonderful Christian women who have been brought up that this is something that you can't even accept. And now they have to not only accept it, but they have to be part of something that they're not comfortable at all because they have children. And they have to accept a life, you know, I wouldn't say a lifestyle, gay is not a lifestyle, but, you know, when you're living with somebody, that is a lifestyle. Whether it's a man or woman, in this case, you know, it happens to be a man. But, you know, they have to learn to adapt to the fact that their children are going to be in an environment that they were raised, that's totally against what their beliefs are. And for the, and like, for instance, right now, you know, I'm dealing with somebody who his total beliefs were, you know, against it too. And he raised his children that way. And now how does he turn that around in the middle of it and explain it? So
right,
I think it's really a difficult transition for women, more so when it's a man than it is with a woman. Just having to visualize your husband with a man, which, you know, is a normal thing that women do.
Sure,
I remember in the beginning, I used to do it. I used to close my eyes, and it was a really good dieting experience for me because I was always throwing up. Well, I was. I couldn't help it. You know, just the thought of someone I loved doing something like that just was so repulsive to me. And, you know, it wasn't repulsive to me when it was friends of mine, but when it was my husband, it was very repulsive to me.
Well, the person who had been with you doing something with sexual with another person, yeah, that's the hard part.
Somebody who I loved doing it, who I was married to.
Right.
That
right.
was the repulsive part, not the fact people were gay. I had many gay friends, and so, you know, I was brought up with in a very liberal environment, so that didn't faze me. But when it's your husband, it does. And all of a sudden, it's new, you know, ball game here. But I think some of our women feel really pressured that they have to get along and they have to adapt to something that's still uncomfortable for them. You know, I just
I have a couple thoughts.
Sure.
So I don't think it's incumbent upon the former wife to express a pleasure that's really not hers. In other words, she doesn't have to like it. Okay. I think it's a question I have found very helpful in my life is, what is my goal? So when there are children involved and there are situations that come up around the kids, and she's still co-parenting with her former husband, then, you know, the well-being of the kids has to take precedence over everybody's comfort level. And so I think one of the questions I would encourage women with children to ask is, what's my goal in the situation? How do I hold on to my integrity and assert what I want, but also do it in a way that's going to be in the best interest of the kids? Would you agree with that?
Yes.
Yeah. So there may be some situations that you have to be in that you wouldn't choose to be in, but for the sake of children, it may be necessary. But that doesn't mean you have to socialize. You certainly don't have to hear about the personal details of their relationship and show interest in that any more than you would, you know, show interest in your ex-husband who was straight with his new woman.
And how about, I mean, I don't necessarily feel that holidays have to always be spent together. You know, if you're not comfortable with having it together, then, you know, you can have two separate holidays. You can have his holiday with the kids and your holiday with the kids.
And that happens all the time. You get some time with the kids, you know, the eve of whatever the festival is, and he gets the day, or you get the day and he gets the eve, whatever. I know of one, a straight gentleman in my church who Christmas is alternated every other year. One year it's with his ex-wife and one year it's with him. So that's how they have divvied that up. So there are different ways to work it out, as I said, to hold on to your own integrity and take care of the kids. But you don't have to say like, oh, I'm all happy for you, you know, former husband, when you're, that's really not where you are.
And I don't think you had to force yourself to be that uncomfortable in a situation. If you're that unhappy and you're going to be filled with anxiety and tension.
Right.
I just feel so bad.
Right.
So many women just feel so pushed into doing something that's just so makes them ill for the next 2 weeks or longer.
You know, I'm glad you said push, because here's a little hint I think is very helpful. When he calls up and he says, I want to do this. Okay, let's get it down on the calendar. Before you answer, take a breath and ask yourself, am I comfortable with this? Do I need a little time? Something you can always say is, oh, let me check my calendar and I'll get back to you. Okay?
Uh-huh.
So that you're not in a situation where over the phone you're getting manipulated into doing it his way, and then your regret that you said yes later, and you're angry. Just saying, you know what? Let me check my calendar. I'll get back to you. I've got a couple things pending. And that thing you've got pending is your own self-care.
And I think that has to come first before everything.
That's
right. If you can't be happy, I mean, just going to an event and it's going to make you feel so stressed out and so miserable, there is no point in going. And I think we're just so, I don't know.
Yeah, I can't tell you how many times I've said yes because I felt compelled to say yes in some social situation or professional situation. And then I regretted it later because it messed up my own plans that I did have. And that's where I have learned to put a little pause in between the question and my response. And sometimes that pause needs to be a full day so I can think about it and check other arrangements. And that's okay.
Or a week.
You know? Yeah.
I've gotten so much better at this. I really have. Because for me, I was always one to give in to everything, to try to make other people happy. But people know me now, my close family, my boyfriend, everybody knows on a holiday, I like to be alone. And I don't feel embarrassed about it. You know, I lost my children, and, you know, as most of our people who listen to the show know. And holidays just aren't holidays for me anymore. And I know it's mean-spirited to say this, but it only hurts me more when I see families that are happy and I don't have mine. And I admit it's not a very good point about me, but that's how I feel, and I can't help it. You know, it makes me all teary-eyed, and I miss my kids. And so I just avoid that situation, you know, and I just explain, you know, I need to be alone on, you know, those 2 or 3 days a year. You know, I appreciate you inviting me for the family dinners, you know, but I just can't do it. And, you know, I'm happy to sit home and just sit and watch Law and Order and make a day of it. You know, I'm just happy to do that or take a rest.
Right.
But it took me so many years to get to this where I had to stop apologizing and tell people, you just have to understand how I feel, and I'm sorry this offends you, but that's how it is. It's nothing personal. It's me.
So
here's another situation that maybe you can give some insight into. It's a very tricky one. A lot of times when couples split up, the man doesn't want his wife telling anybody in his family that he's gay. And, you know, they feel it's, you know, they don't want that news out to their family or for whatever reason. But then, like, the woman who was kind of close with her in-laws before this all happened, once the marriage splits up, then the in-laws don't want to be close with her anymore, but they don't know the real reason why the marriage broke up. So, you know, naturally the guy has to have a reason to tell the parents why this wonderful girl is no longer wonderful. And a lot of times, to be honest with you, these guys make up stories and put the blame on the wife. And so many times the women say to me, oh, I feel I have to tell them, it's not fair that I get the blame for this. And, you know, I'm not looking to out him, but I don't want to have to feel like, you know, they're not talking to my kids anymore. My kids miss their grandparents. You know, I'm not part of the family. I didn't do anything wrong. So what do you suggest?
Well, I'm always uncomfortable when somebody tries to make their dysfunction something that another person has to keep secret. And I'm not saying that being gay is a dysfunction. It's not. It's just a matter of nature. The dysfunction was that he got into a relationship that he shouldn't have, and now he doesn't want to accept the responsibility for coming out, and he's tiptoeing around everybody else because he's afraid. That's the dysfunction. And to make her responsible for keeping his secret is not right. So I think in the case where, again, I would ask, so what's my goal? If my goal is to be punitive of my ex, then I'd say to the person, rethink that. That's not a good reason. But if it's an issue of it's in my best interest of my children that they continue to have consistent relationship with their grandparents on both sides, then either he tells them or she's going to tell them because she needs to have a good working relationship with grandma and grandpa.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think?
I wish it was so easy, like, to do that. I love it.
Yeah.
But I just think that women are fearful. You know, these guys are always threatening them. Well, if you tell, you're never going to see me, or the kids aren't going to see me, and I'm going to have to move away, and you're not going to get any support. You know, they have them bamboozled there, like caught in between, you know.
Well, there
it's
again,
terrible,
have to
and
ask,
I agree
what's
with you.
My goal? What's my goal? You know, and there's some of these things, questions you're raising are legal issues, because if there's a mandated alimony and child support to be paid, then that's the court determines that, and it doesn't matter who's out and who's not out, you know. I would be circumspect, think about all the implications of it, but don't be doing it just because he's uncomfortable if you do.
Do you think you should say to him that, listen, I'm going to give you the option, either you're going to tell your parents or I'm going to have to tell them? I don't want to come out looking like, you know, here I was, their daughter-in-law, that, you know, what did I do wrong that you're leaving me?
Right. You don't get to mess up my good relationship with your parents. That's not something you get to do.
And, okay, I mean, I think you're saying absolutely everything that I agree with. I just know it's harder than it sounds sometimes.
It is harder. It is harder than it sounds. The thing
because
is,
especially when the man is denying it and saying she's making it up. See, this is one of my things. It's one thing if he's involved with somebody, then it's easier to say. But when the guy's saying, well, she's crazy. What is she not? She's just doing this to harass me.
Mm-hmm.
We have those men who do that.
Of course. Of course.
I guess that wouldn't surprise you, right?
No, not at all. Not at all. Well, you know, some women have the cold, hard, cold evidence and others don't.
Uh-huh.
You know, to prove their case. And I know it does get tricky that way.
It does, especially for the men who are what I call the straight gay men. They're the men who are emotionally straight, sexually gay. And they, you know, they're able to compartmentalize, but they're not able to integrate themselves. And even if you leave them, you know, they remarry pretty quickly. And they'll remarry again and again. Other women.
Right, because they're trying to hold on to the facade that they're straight.
So then let me ask you this question, your opinion. I have several women who really are having a hard time with the healing process because they don't understand it. They believe they really had wonderful marriages. They were with their best friend. There was no cruelty involved. They did everything together. You know, they had a wonderful life together. And then all of a sudden, after 10, 15, 20 years, boom, their husbands come and tell them that they're gay.
Mm-hmm.
And then whatever love and friendship they had, poof, it's gone because he's off with his new boyfriend. And any consideration that he used to have is gone. And several women have said to me, the reason they can't get past it, you know, like the men never even will say they're sorry because they won't. Or they don't want to be friends even after they had 15, 20 years together as best of friends. Or they just don't want anything to do with her anymore, and, you know, with either any of these women. And what's your thought on that? Were they pretending about that relationship because now they're just cold and distant and not very kind about it? Did they ever really love their wives?
That's a really, really hard one. I mean, that's harder, I think, than finding out that he was cheating the whole time behind your back.
Mm-hmm.
But also taking you on romantic trips and blah, blah, blah. Because at least there you can say, okay, there was, a person without integrity the whole time. But when he was faithful up until he was overwhelmed by having to face that he was gay and now all of a sudden just cut you off, that's devastating.
Right. Yeah, it is.
Completely devastating. And there are no answers, and they won't provide the answers.
But do you think that he really loved her to start with, or was he acting so he didn't have to come to terms with being gay?
He had to have been living out of a false self.
Mm-hmm.
And have
That's
so much
my thoughts
denial
too.
Going denial going on that he so rejected that part of himself when he finally came out and left that,
mm-hmm.
and she was part and parcel of that false self, that he's turning his back on all of that and anyone who was involved with that as well.
Right, because sometimes when you just don't have any explanation or any closure, or even an apology, like, I'm really so sorry this happened. I'm not saying
right.
I intentionally hurt you, but just, like, saying, I know this is hurting
yep.
you, and I'm so sorry
right.
that, you know, it came to this, but I have to be who I am. And,
right.
you know, I
yep.
tried not being who I am, and it didn't mean I didn't love you. I loved you the best that I could, but it wasn't enough.
Right.
I think that a woman can certainly understand that, but when they get
oh,
no
that's
confession.
So much better. Right, when they get
right?
nothing coming to them. Absolutely, absolutely. I just had a young man, he's 26, he's been married a year. He early on has come to grips with, you know, he couldn't keep the secret going. And the thing that was tearing him up the most, even though, you know, he came out to his wife and said, this is who I am, I can't continue this. And she was wonderfully supportive as he told it. The thing that was tearing him up was that he was hurting her and he was really just, you know, destroying himself with it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, although it's painful for him right now, he will recuperate from that. And she will be in such a better position because he did care enough and he...
Mm-hmm.
And he you know, she knows he didn't intend to hurt him. He was just
mm-hmm.
operating out of a religious and social environment that allowed for nothing else. And he thought it was all going to be fine once he got married, you know. And she'll be fine if she goes on, I'm sure, by comparison to women who just get, you know, ghosted, if you will. You know, all of a
mm-hmm.
sudden a person just disappears from their lives and you get nothing.
And I think those women, I always say that women who had good marriages hurt so much more than women who had bad marriages because they just can't
mm-hmm.
understand how things could have gone so well for so long. Some of these women were in what they call good marriages, you know,
mm-hmm.
for 15, 20, 25, 30 years. And even though there was a lack of intimacy, they just figured, well, you know what, when people are together this long, there's a lack of intimacy. And it doesn't really
mm-hmm.
make them suspicious, you know, when they're 50, 55, 60, they're not having sex because some women don't. But
right.
they still had the best companionship, the best friend, you know, all the same friends, all vacations. And they had a good, you know, friendship. So they're the ones who are so hurt by this. And they can't
right.
understand how did this all of a sudden happen. And it's not an all of a sudden, it's something that's always there. It's just when it gets so rough for a guy that he just can't live with it anymore. I think it's confusing.
Yeah, it's very confusing. It's very confusing.
Do you think there's any specific trigger point where men who are gay and married come out? Is it a midlife crisis, the death of a parent?
It tends to happen in the 40s usually. And they're getting that point where, okay, I've got almost as much life behind me as I've got in front of me, and I can't keep this going any longer. I'm feeling, you know, there's oftentimes a lot of both anxiety and depression that my clients experience because they recognize they're not really being themselves. They've acquired, you know, the house and the job promotions. They've gotten about as high as they're going to get. They could go a little higher. They don't need to get any more degrees or certificates. They've amassed their little kingdom, and now they're sitting with it, and they're saying, but I don't feel fulfilled because there's this piece that I've been shoving down that's now just coming up and won't go away.
Is there any specific age you think that happens at?
I think it happens in the 40s. More than any other age. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Because we see men who live into their 60s and all of a sudden they're just coming to terms with it.
Of course. I mean, I've had those clients as well. But it seems the majority, it happens more at midlife. And Carl Jung talked about midlife is where men, if they're going to work on being integrated, it's going to start in midlife. And the reason is because they built their own little kingdom. They furnished it. They got the wife, the kids. Everything's going pretty good. Got the job promotions. And now they're looking and saying, what's going on inside?
Now, that doesn't mean that they didn't know all along they were gay, though, right?
That's right. But, you know, as they're marching forward on their little quest to build their empire, they were able to push that in the background. Now the empire's built.
Because I think that some women believe that this all of a sudden one day just happened. I don't believe that.
No.
Yeah?
No. No. It tends to come up at midlife, like so many things do for me. It's been there the whole time, but now they've got reasons to deal with it. They're dealing with immortality, and they're not as distracted by, as I say, building their little kingdom. Now there's more of a tendency to go inward and look around. But being gay is something that I have yet to meet a client who has said to me that they didn't know, as we begin to talk about it, they begin to think back and let go of all the stuff that's the repression. They begin to say, you know, I just remember that time when, you know, I was 12 or 13 or 15, and then it was all, you know, the role playing in college, et cetera. And I never did feel quite right, and I just kind of dismissed it. But, yeah, it's been there all along, darling.
Yeah, I think it's a matter that you always know that there's something there. You're just hoping that it doesn't have to be. And you're hoping that if you do the right thing, quote-unquote, that those feelings will fade or go away. I mean, I really do believe that most men marry their women for, you know, with integrity, with thinking that I'm not gay or I don't want to be gay, and if I marry, then it won't be there. And you're told throughout your life through religious institutions, from families, that, you know, gay is a choice and you don't have to choose it. So people have a lot of, you know, wrong conceptions about gay, including the people who are gay. You know, they really do hope that they don't have to be, the ones who get married.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't think anybody would say, oh, I'm gay, I better get married. But I'm still going to be gay. I'm just doing it to make a cover for myself. I mean, I think it's more complex than that.
I've only met one person who wasn't a client of mine, but he said, yeah, I just thought, you know, it'd be good for my career to get married. And didn't even really like his wife that much. I, at the same time, I think even he thought he was probably doing the right thing, and it would all be okay. You have to be pretty sociopathic to say, I know I'm gay, I'm going to continue to go looking for men, and I'm going to marry this woman because she's a good cover. I mean, that's pretty specific, and that's
right.
Very
and
unusual.
That's not to say it doesn't happen, but I would say it doesn't happen in 95% of the cases.
I would agree. Yep.
You know, I think most men really truly want to have a straight life, and
mm-hmm.
they think that they can pass it off, and
yep.
I think that I think they love the women they're marrying to the best of their ability to love a woman. It's not the kind
mm-hmm.
of straight love that a woman needs. It's the best they can do. And I think that when you
yep.
are younger, in your 20s, you can force yourself to have sex and maybe even enjoy it, because any touch
yep.
feels good when you're young.
Right. And I've had my clients who have said that to me, but they at the same time, they'll say it as they reflect on it, but it didn't really feel very full.
Right. But I could
right.
do it.
But they could tingle the nerve endings and things
mm-hmm.
would take care of themselves. But it didn't mean that they were feeling really fulfilled.
But I don't think that at that point they really needed to. They were saying it's good enough if I can have sex with a woman,
right,
have an orgasm, have children.
Right.
And
look,
I think a lot of these...
I've got this career, and I'm building this career, and I really love it, and it takes a lot of my energy, and that's exciting,
uh-huh.
and I get rewarded for it, and look at me, I'm a model citizen, and, you know, all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And the outward
I think that's
stuff
all twisted
as we get
in
to the outward stuff as we get to midlife doesn't mean nearly as much as it does when we're younger. You know?
Mhm. Absolutely.
The seasoned soldier. I don't think that the seasoned soldier, that's a professional officer, really thinks much about the medals that's on his or her jacket. You know,
mm-hmm.
when they put it on. But the younger men and women going in may well have an admiration. And a desire for that is filled with a lot of, you know, romantic ideas. But the reality is what's going to fulfill that person professionally is, in the long haul, the depth of believing they're doing the right thing and the relationships they build with others and the camaraderie and all of that, not the medals.
To me, it's just so hard to understand. I mean, I can understand so much of this, Brian. I guess what the hardest part I can't understand is if I had to live every day a lie about who I was and try to find a million excuses not to do what I'm supposed to be doing, like making love to my, you know, mate.
Mm-hmm.
Like, how long can I keep prolonging in this, or how do I shut it down
mm-hmm.
so she's not thinking about
mm-hmm.
it? I mean, that must take so much energy and thought.
It's exhausting.
Mm-hmm.
It's absolutely exhausting for men. Yeah.
Do they tell
it's
you
exhausting.
That?
Yeah, they do.
Mm-hmm.
They do.
And how,
it just
how about
drains
on the religious
the
angle?
What,
you know,
because so
when men come
question?
To me and they say that, you know, they can't because it's against what they brought up to believe in, and they, you know, it goes against religious beliefs, cultural beliefs,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
you know, that they would like to leave, but they just can't.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, I think that it's time to reexamine some of those religious beliefs.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, does following what they think is a religious precept that continues to wound somebody, does that fulfill the depths of the religious precept to love your neighbor as yourself, to not do to others what you wouldn't want done to you? You know, does that fulfill that by staying in a marriage that doesn't work? I don't think so.
I guess the ones that bother me the most, to be honest with you, are the men who are in the clergy. Because I just can't reconcile in my head how you can be there representing God and, you know, living against what is expected of you.
Living a deception in your own home. Right.
Exactly.
I agree.
We have a lot of women who are married to men who are, you know, either pastors, who are some, you know, positions in the church, who are church choir leaders. You know, whose lives are, you know, founded around the church.
Right.
And yet they're able to compartmentalize enough where they do this. And I just feel so bad for not only the women, but for all the people they're misleading in their congregations.
And in many cases, all the homophobia that they are inculcating in their people while they're living on the down low themselves. Yeah. It's,
exactly.
Yeah, it's dreadful
stuff.
And
that's happened with some really big pastors who are very famous, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't matter that they have mega churches or big television shows, they're still caught the same way. Mm-hmm. And I just don't get it. You know, it's bad enough when you're not a religious leader, but when you are, and you're doing, you know, you have God to fall back on, and like you say, in some ways you're creating this homophobia because you have to go against homosexuality. Because that's how your church is.
In those churches they do. Remember, not all of us have that doctrine.
No, not all.
But they do.
Right.
And, you know, as somebody once said, and I completely agreed with it, the one of the most painful kinds of hurt is religious community hurt. The hurt that happens in the very places where it's supposed to be okay to be vulnerable and genuine. And then to be hurt by the very institution where that happens is is devastating for people.
I would like to add that when we talk about, you know, men who are in marriages, it's so much different. You know, I do differentiate it between men who get married and don't in the gay community.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think, as I always tell people, it takes a lot of courage not to get married. Because men who don't get married are under the same pressures as men who do get married.
Yep. Yep.
I mean, they have they grow up in churches, they grow up in religious groups, Jewish, Muslim, whatever the case is. And it's no different in any religion. I know that we talk a lot about Christians because a lot of the audience is Christian. But certainly Orthodox Jews are in the same boat. Muslims are definitely in the same boat. You know, to have all that kind of community pressure where marriage is expected of you.
Mm-hmm.
So they're under the same constraints. But, you know, for instance, I have a cousin who I'm very proud of, who's an Orthodox Jew. We brought up Orthodox. He couldn't stay there because of the fact that all the pressures are on him to get married and to do the right thing as a young Jewish man. But this happens, you know, you and I have worked before with people who are Muslim, who are, you know, other kinds of denominations besides Christian. I even have men who are Hindus. I mean, you know, it happens across the board.
Yeah, yeah.
Where people feel compelled that they have to. So it takes a lot of courage to me to stand up and say, I just can't do it. And I feel really bad for a lot of these men who come to me who are so pressured by their families and by the religion. And they say to me, what can I do? What can I do? And I said, well, you know, I thought of a really great solution to it. I think there should be a dating service for gays and lesbians, you know, a marriage service, like in communities where you have to get married. Wouldn't that be a good idea? They can marry each other?
The only problem is that I can see is that very communities say you have to be married are the ones where they wouldn't allow you to. be an out gay or lesbian person, huh?
No, you have to be quiet. People won't know.
No.
You know, I'm saying, like, for different cultures. You know, this might work really well, like, in countries like India, Saudi Arabia. Like, to have same-sex marriage services.
The one of the issues, though, is any time we have to hide part of who we are, you know, that's disintegrating and psychologically not healthy for folks. So,
right,
I mean,
but
I understand
they wouldn't have to hide who they were from each other.
Well, I know that's true, but then they've got the family to deal with and all of that, you know.
But they're going
to
have that anyway, and a wife.
this
way, you don't have to deal with the wife, because she'll already know.
Yeah, right. No, I get that. Yeah, yeah.
When I
also
might
know
do that
people
as another career after I finish this one. What do you think?
Well,
starting dating service in countries that is unacceptable. Marriage brokers.
Have marriage ritual will travel. Huh? Okay.
Mm-hmm. I kind of like
you.
It.
Yeah.
I think it might work. Take a lot of pain out of the whole situation of being married.
It would be
so,
nice
do you have any good tips to get through these next few weeks for women?
Yeah, even as we approach Valentine's Day, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, thinking about that. Well, anything you can do to work on building a relationship for you with yourself, and to do loving things for yourself, and that includes, you know, listings. What are some fun things you would do if you had a partner to do them with? Would you go to the museum? Would you enjoy that? Would you go to lectures? Would you go to a concert if you had somebody to go with? If you would enjoy those things with somebody and you don't have a somebody, then make yourself go on some dates to these kind of events alone, or if you've got a girlfriend, you know, I'm speaking to the single women out there, ask her if she wants to go, do something, but kind of make yourself get out there a little bit. And I'm not just speaking through my hat, because I know when I went through a time when I got rejected and it was very painful, I really did make myself get out of the house and do some of those things, and I felt better for having done it. I felt better for building that. You know, self-esteem is the reputation we build with ourselves, and I may not have had the perfect time, but I would come back in at the end of the evening or the end of the day, and I would say, well, at least, you know, I tightened my belt and I did something for myself and it was okay. And there were moments in which I was completely distracted and I was enjoying it. And build on those moments. Catch yourself.
And there are some other activities people can do too, like maybe journaling.
Catch yourself not thinking about him. Go, oh, I went 5 minutes and didn't think about him. See, it is possible.
Mm-hmm.
Good for me. Reinforce that. Now, journaling is an excellent thing to do. I love that.
Also,
it can
any
be
kind
very
of creative activities.
Yep.
Vision boards. I always tell women, you know, visualize where you want to be. Make posters,
right? Right. Put these three. If people are taking notes, if you're taking any notes, put these words down. Believe, behave, become. We believe where we want to go, or where we're going to go. We believe where we're going to go, okay? So we have a choice. Do we want it to be a good place, or do we want it to be a bad place? Then you behave in a direction that is towards what it is you believe. And the more you behave it, the more finally, the third word is become. You become that person in that new place. Believe, behave, become. And you better be aware of what you're doing, because if you're not, you're going to do it anyway, and it may be taking you to some place you don't want to go.
Maybe that could be the third B before become. Be aware. Right?
Yeah, absolutely. Right. Yeah. Well, I always talk about awake, thoughtful, reasonable, and responsible, and those are the four primary pillars of healthy spirituality, no matter what the religion is. Awake, thoughtful, reasonable, responsible. But we move in the direction of our most dominant thoughts, so choose where it is you want to go. Choose carefully.
And during the holiday time, you don't have to be alone. I have pain pals who will be happy to write to you. I'm a click away. Just write to bondk@AOL.com. If you just need somebody to give you a few moments of comfort, you know, I will certainly be able to provide that for you through our network. We have a wonderful group of women through our Straight Wives Club. We're more than happy to reach out and help any woman who's going through a very tough time and just needs a shoulder to cry on. You don't have to do this by yourself. You know, there's a lot of support out there. Just even going back and listening to old radio shows, Dr. Hooper has a whole slew of shows with me. He's always so comforting to listen to. So you can always go back to Block Talk Radio, to Straight Wives Talk Show, and find Dr. Hooper's other radio shows with me, and listen to other programs with other, you know, specialists who come on our show every week. The main thing is not to feel that you're all by yourself, because you're not. You're in with the same shoes as millions of other women in this country. And the really important phenomenon with this situation that you have to all realize is that this situation makes you feel so isolated and alone. And even though I tell you there are millions more, like, people look at me like, no way. But it's true. You know, this is something that's not isolated. It just makes you feel isolated because people don't want to discuss it. And they feel ashamed or embarrassed in some way that it's their fault, which it's not. So those are one of the things that you have. That's the first thing you have to start believing and realizing this has nothing to do with you, right, Brian?
Exactly, exactly. It's not your fault.
It's not your fault. You didn't ask for it, and you don't have to stay with something that you didn't ask for.
That's
and those
right.
are very powerful words that Dr. Hooper always, you know, talks about on the show. If you didn't sign up for it, right, Brian?
Right. If you didn't sign
up
for it, you're not obligated to stay with it.
Exactly.
I had a wise man say to me once about something that I didn't, it was a mess I didn't cause. He looked at me and he said, well, you didn't make it, you didn't break it, you didn't drive it a mile, not your problem.
And that's really very wise words.
Yeah, it's been good for me.
And I always say that you didn't create it, you can't change it. You can only change yourself, right?
That's right. It's not, you know, we can't avoid stepping in the stuff of life, but what we can do is decide what we're going to do once we do it.
So I just want to end with some final comments for our women to realize that this is our last Monday night show, Brian. After this, we're back to Sundays.
Okay.
I'll be reminding you. And
thank you, dear.
So we'll be hearing from you at the end.
Track.
I know, you know, but Mondays just always have me disoriented, even though I thought it would work out better. But it's been a year, and it hasn't worked out better, so I'm going back
to
Sunday.
Yeah.
Right?
Okay.
I think Sundays I have a better expectation that it's show night. And also to let women know that if you are feeling down, you're feeling out, you know, just write to me. And also I want to thank all of our listeners who always get back to me. You know, last month, Brian, we had overall for the month over 5,000 listens, which was very impressive to
me.
Wow.
Because
I get to count every, you know, week.
Yeah.
And, you know, I really appreciate people supporting this show and supporting this whole movement to let people know that they're not alone and that there's help out there. All you have to do is ask for it and it will be yours. And thanks to people like Dr. Brian Hooper, who's kind enough to give of his time every month to help us always feel better, you know, this is why the show is the success it is. So, Brian, I want to wish you a happy new year.
And I want to wish you a happy new year as well. You have been a
Thank
gift
you.
In my life and a gift to so many women. And I'm very honored to be able to just be a little bit of a help to you and work with you in the phenomenal work that you're doing. Thank you so much.
And back at you, buddy. So
Thank
with
you,
that,
sweetie.
I'll say love to all of you out there and have a very happy, peaceful new year. It's reading on everybody's post. 2016 is going to be the year. So let's keep optimistic and think that, right?
Absolutely.
All right. So without further ado, Brian, I love you. And I'll talk
I
to you next
you
month.
Love you, too.
All right. And love
See
to all our
month.
Ladies.
God bless. Good night.
Right,
bye-bye. Bye-bye.